Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta, and let me ask you a question. Have you ever, or are you recently, dealing with fear? I definitely can tell you that fear has been one of those characters in my life. And to me, just the idea of even creating, you need the ability to be able to overcome fear in order to create. And my guest today is Sarah F. Hathaway. She's an author, and you'll see that she's someone who has definitely overcome fear in her own life, both to write her books, and also she talks about what she talks about in her books is really interesting. For those of you that remember, we did an episode about a year ago with Mandu Toigo, who was from Naked and Afraid, and she talked a lot about digging into that inner courage. She was a survivalist and really had done a lot of interesting stuff with that. And so I was really interested to have Sarah on to talk about what you'll learn about preppers and survivalists. But also, again, to bring this back to the courage that it takes to overcome fear on a daily basis in our lives in ways big and small. Fiction author Sarah F. Hathaway is an individual with an insatiable urge for learning. She grew up in the woods of Michigan, fishing, hunting, gardening, canning, and horseback riding with her family. She loved to learn about stories of times past from her great-grandparents and grandparents. She learned about a time much different than her own, when a trip to the grocery store was not all it took to make sure your family was fed. She delighted in the outdoors and learning how to survive there without the trappings of modern life. After moving to the rural mountain landscape of California, she attended the California State University of Sacramento and graduated with a bachelor's degree in general business management. She managed many businesses, all while working on the manuscript for her novel, Day After Disaster. Eventually, she realized her passion for the outdoors and learning about survival techniques outweighed her passion for the business world. She took her marketing life and marketing skills and applied them to launching a successful platform for her first novel. She still lives in Northern California with her husband and two sons, where she's at work on the sequel for her first novel. She delights in helping other authors find the same marketing success and enjoys her time that she gets to spend honing her survival skills while teaching these skills to her two sons. Now, I grew up mostly in New Jersey, so my survival skills involved being at the Jersey Shore. So I'm very interested and excited to hear from Sarah Hathaway. Sarah F. Hathaway, thank you for joining me on Creating Change.
Thank you so much for having me. What a delight it is.
Thank you. So let's talk about, first and foremost, that I thought so your story is so interesting. So maybe we can start with your background about, I'm curious about your own background and interest in survivalism and in, you know, what brought you to this novel, Day After Disaster, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But can you say a little bit more about your experience growing up?
So when I grew up out in Michigan, and I just loved being out in the trees and just spending time out in nature. I learned how to hunt, and we had a big fishing boat that we took out on the Great Lakes. I eventually had a horse and got into horseback riding and things. And I actually learned to bow hunt, even though I can shoot rifles rather proficiently. I like the adventure of bow hunting more, so that was a calling for me. And I just learned a lifestyle that was much different. I almost didn't realize how different growing up for me was than growing up in the concrete jungle. So it was really shocking to me when I go down to the city and see the concrete jungle and think, wow, you know, not to have space to be able to just walk outside and be in nature. And it feels kind of cheated to me. So it's kind of getting my message out to the world about, you know, take that time to get out in the trees. It really helps your body physically and emotionally. And getting to know that even if you are in the city, you can be growing a lot of your own foods. And there's many ways to do that nowadays. So I'm a big proponent of trying to bring our natural and fresh foods back to our cities, because I just, I guess I'm kind of spoiled out here in the country with it.
That's great. I mean, even just hearing, it's funny because talking about overcoming fear, like even just hearing you share that about being in nature and all that stuff. And I think, wow, you know, my experience has definitely been very different from yours in terms of where I've grown up. And I've mostly lived in urban areas. so I feel very comfortable in cities, but not as much, definitely not as much in rural areas. But these are all great skills that we need to have. One of the things that I think is so interesting that I know you share that you've shared with me is about how you took your own experience of courage and of overcoming fear in your life and translated into your novel. And first, maybe you can just say what the novel is about, The Day After Disaster.
Okay, so Day After Disaster is about a young woman. She's a wife and a mother named Erica, and she lives out in the country and works down in the city. And when she's down in Sacramento one day, the whole world changes around her. And she finds out that not only does she have to save herself from the situation that she's in, but she also can help out other people along the way, and she has to make this incredible journey back to find out if her family survived as well. So that's the basis of the book. So my main character, Erica, she's really kind of a translation of myself, being that I never really intended to publish this novel. It was just a story that I had in my head. I wrote it down on paper, and my mother said, well, you put the end on it. You have to publish this book. So heeding her advice, I went ahead and did so. So it's kind of a personal story to me, because it is in some ways a translation of myself and my own courage that I've had to find along my life to overcome these fears, translated it into my story.
It reminds me, as you say that, of, was it Flaubert who said, Madame Bovary, c'est moi, you know, I am Madame Bovary. Like we put ourselves, whether we know it or not, you know, all of our characters are some aspect of ourselves. I'm curious whether you have found that the act of writing and being creative, I guess I'm curious about how maybe you were changed or affected by the act of writing this novel.
Yes. So writing this novel, because I had this incredible, it was just me driving down to work. I have this incredible story that I developed from, you know, what if this happened to me? What was I going to do about it? So it really got me thinking a lot more in terms of how am I going to feed my children if something like that were to happen? We can all see from like the earthquake in Nepal and stuff, the horrible, you know, horrible disaster that's happening over there right now, that help is not always right on hand. And sometimes it's up to you to make sure that your family is going to be safe in a situation like that. And there are certain things that you can do ahead of time to prepare yourself so that if something were to happen, you have a lot more confidence and you can conquer that fear because you have already done a certain amount of mental and physical preparation for, you know, God forbid if something like that were to happen to you. And it's not just natural disasters. It's, you know, there's lots of different disasters that could happen to us personally as far as injury or trauma to our loved ones and things like that. And if we have a certain amount of readiness on, okay, if something like that were to happen, I have plans in place to handle that situation. When you're hit with that flood of emotion, it allows you to handle that situation with a lot less fear and conquer it. So my book really got me thinking about, okay, if something like this were to happen, we have lots of wildfires in our areas and whatnot. If I had to leave out my door, what am I bringing with us? How am I going to make sure my kids are okay? Are they going to know how to help themselves if I wasn't around? So these are the thoughts that my book really got going in my head as I wrote it. And that's why I feel it's such an important message to share with the world.
I also think it's so interesting that you talk about how the survival concepts in your book, The Day After Disaster, can translate into real world experiences for us, right? That we can take some of these. Can you share some of those survival concepts and how those could be useful in our lives?
Okay, so there's a lot of concepts in my book that are physical things that you would need to learn to do as far as you know, hunting an animal, knowing what to do with that after. But there's also a lot of psychological things involved in my book. So one of the main things is when we get into traumatic events, we immediately go into denial first. And my character goes up against the wall saying, no, help is coming. This isn't happening right now. Everything's going to be okay. And then we go into anger. She gets angry. You know, why is this happening to me? Why am I the only one in this situation? Why do I have to deal with it? then she starts blaming. She blames people for, you know, her being stuck, for help not coming, and then she's depressed. I'm never going to get out of this situation. I will never overcome it. My life is over. But then she accepts it. And with the little bit of preparedness that my character had done ahead of time, she has those tools to really change the future and accept what's going on. So that's definitely, you know, and those are just the five stages of the traumatic.
Yeah, those are the, what you described is the five stages of grief.
Right. So my character definitely lives that as the book goes on.
What's interesting too for me is that there's different levels of survival, right, and of fear. So clearly, like when we look at something like Nepal or I want to keep this evergreen, so I'm not going to necessarily talk about any specific thing that's going on. But no matter when you're listening to this, my guess is there's probably been some disaster, some urban riot, some something going on in the world, some war. There's always those things going on. But then there's the everyday sort of fears and survival of our everyday existence. And most of us, of course, hopefully won't be involved in the kind of extreme situations that might call for survivalist skills, although we might, right? That certainly is possible. But even in our everyday life, that these principles, are really, I think, are just great principles for us to think about. I know another one that you talk about is that your mindset is generated by your feelings and not your circumstances. Can you say a bit more about that?
Right. So when you're in a situation, it's always 90% how you handle it and 10% circumstance. The circumstance is going to be there whether you freak out or whether you're calm. The circumstance is going to be there whether you're happy or whether you're sad. So it's really your mindset going into that circumstance on how you can deal with that. How much are you going to let that thing affect you? I always tell my kids, you know, nothing makes you feel a certain way. You feel a certain way because you feel a certain way. There's nothing that is going to make you change your feelings besides yourself. So it's really getting inside of our own heads and going, wow, this is going to be challenging, but are we going to give up? Are we going to let the fear conquer, or are we going to move on?
And it's funny, I believe I've said this before on other episodes, but I'm always fascinated by there were two plane crashes around the same time about 5 or 6 years ago. And one was the Miracle at the Hudson, and then the other one was in Buffalo, New York. And the interesting thing is that the plane Miracle in Hudson, the hydraulics were gone, the plane lost complete power, and they were able to land the plane safely. The other plane in Buffalo, New York, there was nothing wrong with the plane whatsoever. The plane was fully functional, and they crashed because the pilots panicked. And so I always think that's interesting, you know, that you could have, it's not necessarily just the circumstances we're dealt, but how we deal with those circumstances, which is what I hear you saying.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly my point. And so one of my good friends, James Hart, he has a book that's Urban and Wilderness Survival Emergency Preparedness. And he has a very nice little acronym in there. And when he talks about fear and panic, he says, just stop. And so that's really easy to say, oh, we just need to stop. But this actually has meaning. The S means to stop moving. Sit down. Keep your breathing slow and calm down your heart rate. That way you can go on a T, which is think clearly and think positively. Try to calm your mind and let that fear, let that intrepidation, let that anxiety just slip away. Then O is observe your surroundings and the conditions of the people with you. You know, are they freaking out? Are you going to need to be the calm point? Is somebody injured? What's going on? So just really bring all of your five senses together and almost go into the slow motion mode, where you're just realizing, taking in every point. And then you can go on to P, which is plan a course of action that will keep you safe and solve the problem that you're in. And this acronym can be applied to raising children. It can be applied to business. It can be applied to a survival skill. It just applies to life in general. And it's an easy thing to remember, just stop.
No, it's great. You're absolutely right. Like, I mean, it's funny because it just, it is, I have to say, it's so clearly I need to learn some more survival skills because it feels so far from my world to be like, and not to say like, I mean, not to say that I haven't been in situations of survival situations, but they've probably been more urban. But right. What you're saying doesn't need to be only, like you said, it doesn't need to be only the extremes of a terrorist attack or a disaster. It could be dealing with the fear of, I mean, I know there are times when, you know, you sit down to write a blog or you sit down to do a podcast or you sit down to create something. And I'm amazed. I don't know if you ever have the experience, but the panic and overwhelm sometimes that you can feel can be just as intense as any panic and overwhelm for any other reason.
Exactly. And there's so many people dealing with anxiety today, and how much prescriptions are prescribed for anxiety problems when there's really simple things that we can do. But sometimes we get so wrapped up into our daily life and what's happening with the children and what's happening with the husband or what's happening with the significant other, what's happening at work. Yeah. You know, we're pulled in so many directions that sometimes just a little reminder of, okay, slow down, take a breath, you know, so you can clear your brain and really think about it. You know, I wonder how many prescriptions could be avoided if we could all just do that once in a while.
Yeah,
and I'm not really
doesn't.
A big fan of, I'm not really a big fan of meditation or the guru or anything. I'm more of an ice hockey player and full energy. So it's hard for me to stop sometimes, but goodness knows we all need it.
That's great. It's interesting because it's all relative on to your situation as well, right? So stop is so great for people because we can respond as if, I mean, our body can still have that fight or flight response. Even if we get like a bill from the electric company that we're like, oh my God, how am I going to pay this, right? And then that can trigger the same kind of survival, mechanism in our body as being out in the wilderness or something and being in some natural disaster.
Right. And we'd all deal with it on a daily basis. So that's the point is to recognize that happening within your body. So you can stop it. And it sounds so easy, but sometimes it's so challenging. So,
but at least you're giving, you're giving us the tools I understand it takes practice, but you're giving us the tools to deal with it. And speaking of tools, another great acronym from the Army Survival Manual, correct?
Yes. So this is another one that I just love altogether, and it's survival. And the Army Manual is going to be applicable to urban situations. Goodness knows they're in them when they're out there. But it can also be jungle situations. So it's, again, one of those universal things that we all need to remember. And the acronym is survival. So it goes along with STOP, but it's a little bit more comprehensive. And the S is for sizing up your situation and your surroundings. What's your physical condition? What equipment do you have on hand to use? The U is for using all your senses, that thinking clearly and trying to bring everything in. You know, you got to know if you're smelling, you know, gas, or are you safe where you're at? Remember where you are is R, and pay close attention to where you're going. So you're not relying on others to keep track of where your movements are. You're watching the signposts as they go by. You're paying attention to where your taxi is driving you in case something were to happen. You would know the position that you were at, so you'd know where to go for help. V is to vanquish fear and panic, and we've learned the STOP acronym for that, so we can do a little bit better job there. I is improvise, so you're going to learn how you can adapt your tools. What do you have on hand to help you get to where you need to be safely? V is for value living. Don't give up. There's just no way you can give up on life and on your circumstances. It is worth being here, and you need to value that. A is act like the natives. How do they survive? Some of the best survivalists today in America are our homeless population.
Right.
They know how to survive. So what are they doing? Usually that's a good indicator of what you should be doing. And then the final one is L, live by your wits. But for now, learn your basic skills so that you can just be more confident if you're ever in a situation like that.
When you talked about those first ones, the sizing up the situation, using your senses, remembering where you are, I think about grounding, you know, that idea of, I use this a lot in my own therapy practice, and certainly I use it just in my own life, that when we have a lot of anxiety or fear, we're usually not grounded in the present moment of where we are.
Yes, I would agree 100%.
Yeah, I love that. It's beautiful.
Usually, if you're very anxious, it's because you're living in the future. And if it's depressed, it's because you're living in the past. But when you're happy, it's because you're living in the now and you're dealing 100% with what life's handing you right at this moment, whether you're spending time with your kids or on a business activity or out in the woods. Yeah, to be grounded. I like that.
And of course, that last one about living by your wits, to me, that speaks so much to creativity because, right, that's like, I mean, that's where the manual ends, right? It's like,
Okay. Good luck. Yeah, that's like choosing to give up the business world for your author career. That's living by your wits right there.
Living by your wits, right. It doesn't have to be that we physically go out on a journey into the wilderness, although certainly we could. But you went out into the wilderness metaphorically. I mean, you went out into the wilderness in your career, right?
Right.
There's no manual. Yeah, there's no manual for that.
Yep. And I tried to reflect that in my book. So I tried to put a lot of things that were, like I said, rooted in the physical. So you're going to learn a little bit about herbology. You're going to learn a little bit of survival skills. You're going to hear a fantastic love story in there. Everybody loves the love story in there. And then you're also going to learn these lessons about, you know what, the people in our life are the ones we should value the most. Sometimes those are the people we take for granted, but you know, that when the moment comes, when you think about living them, you talk about or losing them, you talk about fear. That is my biggest fear. And that was the driver behind my book is, oh my gosh, what if we were separated? What if I was lost from them? Mm-hmm. And so that's really the fear comes out in the book because she is just longing to be with her soulmate and her child. So
beautiful. And Sarah Hathaway is my guest. The book is called Day After Disaster. Please tell people, we have about a minute and a half remaining. If you could just please tell people how they can find you, how they can get the book, and anything else you'd like to share.
Okay. So the easiest way to get a hold of me is at my website, www.authorsarahfhathaway.com. That's author Sarah is F-A-R-A, F like Frank, Hathaway is H-A-T-H-A-W-A-Y.com. And then my book's available on Amazon and at tatepublishing.com, and it's called Day After Disaster.
Sarah Hathaway, thank you so much for joining me. It's just been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I was really excited to be here today and do this podcast with you. I've been itching to get on your show. I just love it, so.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And everyone else, remember some great takeaways in here about overcoming fear and creating, even when we feel panicked, even when we feel like, where's the rest of the manual? Just love it. So definitely encourage you to check out Sarah's book and visit authorsarahfhathaway.com. We will be back next week with more great guests. Until next time, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.